Exodus 23. You have your Berean people here. You can look it up for me, please. I think it's Exodus 23 that talks about the first fruit giving. And what they did in the beginning of the week, the beginning of the year, spoke volumes to God. God looked at the first fruit giving, whether it be their crops or their herds or their talents or our money giving. No matter what we give, the Lord looks at our first fruits giving. And so we're here on the first Sunday of the new year to tell the Lord we want him to orchestrate our entire year. We want him to lead us in the entire year because we're here in the house of the Lord. And so he will. And he will bless us accordingly. It was believed, and it is believed, that, for instance, if you give financially a little bit, my sermon isn't about finances, relax, but according to the first fruits giving, talking about the finances in the church, if you give a little the first of the year, the Lord will bless you a little. But if you give a lot, the Lord will bless you a lot. It's just has to do with first fruits giving. So we are glad you are here. And we are going to declare today for the rest of the year, hope foreseen in 2016. Hope foreseen in 2016. Say that with me. Hope foreseen in 2016. And don't let the word foreseen scare you, because yes, it means prophetic, it means yet to come, but remember, our future is 1 minute from now. So hope foreseen 1 minute from now, 5 minutes from now, a week from now, a year from now, the entire year's hope foreseen in 2016. We started, my daughter Marianne, granddaughter Alexandra, and myself, we started our new year, that is at 12 o'clock midnight. We celebrated the Lord's Supper. I know some of you came here and did the same. And as we celebrated the Lord's Supper, we were thinking about you as well. And we wanted to do that because, again, our first of fruits giving. And after we celebrated the Lord's Supper, it seemed, well, it did. Everything went well. Just everything went so well for us. And we were happy. And those two were giddy. I was tired. I went to bed, but they stayed up and they were giddy. I did watch the ball drop down. I do that every year. But every year I find that I cannot watch the show. I can't watch that New Year's celebration because every year it just gets dirtier and dirtier and dirtier and dirtier. So 5 minutes before the ball is due to drop, I turn it on. And that has been a custom for me and my family ever since I was a girl. A long time ago. Amen. And okay. I'm going to start out with something that's very familiar to you. Because part of Orange Allen's home-going eulogy. It's found in 2 Timothy 4. You may turn there if you want to. If not, I will read it to you. We have the Apostle Paul. He is saying in verse 6, "For I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time has come for my departure. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to those who have longed for his appearing." Longed for his appearing. Longing meaning hope. Waiting patiently, suffering in waiting. Ouch, we don't want to hear that on the first day of the first Sunday of the new year. But that's what it means. And out of this word of death comes life. Because Paul was imprisoned his second time and he was waiting his execution. And he tells the people that he's longing to see the Lord. He's longing for the Lord's appearance. And they'll be giving him a crown, just like you will get a crown and I will get a crown when we long for his appearing. Well, that obviously is on the last day of our life, as it was with Paul. But also, longing for his appearing can be for us today, right now. Hope foreseen in 2016, longing for his appearing. And we can take that word that Paul described in his death and use it for life. We know we long for his appearing when the time comes for us to go be with him. Of course, we long for his appearing on that day. But we can long for his appearing every day of our lives. Let me explain what I do and how it helps me. I told you before, I get up when it's still dark, and I don't like the dark. And so I long for the sun to come up. I long for the Lord's appearing in my life that particular day. This morning, same thing. I wanted the dark to go away. I wanted the sun to come up because I longed for God's appearing in my life. Hope foreseen today and in 2016 as we go through the new year. Pray for me. I'm having a little bit of difficulty. I sense some kind of difficulty. Put your hands toward me. Raise your hands toward me, please. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we come against anything, Lord, that would come against your word. We come against, Lord, anything that would come against the cross, the saving knowledge, the blood of Christ. Father, we ask that you would empower the giver of the word and the hearer of the word. We are all students in your word, Lord Jesus. And we ask you, Lord, for a fresh anointing and an outpouring of your Holy Spirit, Lord, that your word would go down deep within our hearts, Lord, and change us, rearrange us, Lord, and allow us to have the hope that you want us to have in this coming new year. And we pray in the name of Jesus. My daughter had a prayer request from a friend. You may put your hands down. Thank you. From a friend, and I can't go into who she is. We have to keep that anonymous because she would get in trouble. That's all I could say. But the prayer request came in for her daughter who had a baby and was hemorrhaging. And we put her on the prayer chain because this mother, my daughter's friend, requested us to do this. It was very dangerous for her to do that, but she did. And so we prayed. And now her daughter is out of intensive care and she's doing better. She's no longer rejecting the blood that was given to her. And she said, thank you to my daughter. And my daughter said, don't thank me, thank God. And she said, thank God. A big deal for this person. Big deal. So I think I'm feeling those, I'm feeling that spiritual world coming against me as I preach the word of God, but we're going to do it anyway. So we're longing for his appearing and having hope foreseen in 2016. The word hope is in the Hebrew in the Old Testament because we'll be going there. And it's a word to chelith, an expectation, hope, derivative of patiently waiting, pained in waiting, to stay, to trust, to tarry. And it is a word that we must live by. And I want to tell you how the Lord first gave me this word. And when Pastor Charles and I first came down with cancer, I heard the Lord speak to my heart, and he said, don't lose hope. And I said, no, I won't lose hope. Well, you all know that Pastor Charles went home to be with the Lord. And I thought, what am I hearing? Did I hear right? I know I heard the Lord say, have hope. Don't lose hope. So I did what Pastor Charles used to tell me to do. Whenever you get a word that you don't understand, put it on the shelf. Not with the elves. But put the word on the shelves, on the shelf. And when the time comes that you need this word or this word comes to fruition, you'll have it. It will make sense. It might not make sense to you when the Lord gives you the word, but it will in the future as you have need of that word. So I put that word on the shelf, have hope, even though my hopes weren't fulfilled. So now my husband's youngest sister comes down. Well, she had cancer. She fought cancer for a very long time. And the Lord took her home, too. But while she was going through it, of course, our hearts were heavy as a family. And I heard the Lord say, don't give up hope. And I said, Lord, you know, my hopes didn't come through the way I like them to come through for my husband. And now my sister-in-law, she's gone home to be with you. What are you talking about? This hope that we're supposed to have. I have hope, but it didn't turn out the way I hoped that it would. And the Lord told me that I was hoping for my will to be done in my life. And that's not the Lord's hope of glory. The Lord's will is having hope in Him, hoping that His will be done in our lives, and longing for the Lord's appearing in our everyday, daily lives is having hope in the Lord so that His will be done in our lives. How many times have we said, I don't want to get my hopes up because I don't want to be disappointed? Well, if we feel that way, then we're not having the right kind of hope. Because like I said, we are to hope in the Lord. When you hope in the Lord, your desires are met. Your desires come to fruition. Like Jacob, for instance. Jacob waited 14 years for Rachel because his hope was in the Lord. Because he knew the Lord wanted him to marry Rachel. And he worked 14 years for her, and 14 years later, his hope came to fruition. He got his desire of his heart because his hope was in the Lord. Why do I say that? Because we have different kinds of hope. Some of us have hopes that we'll get a new house. Oh, I hope for a new house. Oh, I hope for a new car. I'm hoping for a new job. I'm hoping for this thing, and I'm hoping for that thing. Well, we can hope till the cows come home and nothing will happen because we got to get up off our derrieres and get out and go to work and earn money to pay for the new house or the new car or the new thing that we want. Hope isn't going to do us any good unless our hope is in the Lord. And he says, get out and work. Get out and do. Wait patiently in doing so. So that's the hope that we have is the wrong kind of hope, and we're going to go there in a few minutes to find out about that kind of hope. Some people hope for a relationship, the right Mr. Right or Mrs. Right to come along, and we hope for that. Or we hope for a close friend, a best friend. And if our hope is in the Lord, we will get what we want, because the Lord wants us to be happy. The Lord says that no man should be alone. The Lord wants us to have friends, especially, and sometimes we just have friends in the church, and that's so wrong. Like my daughter, for instance, has a friend who is not in the church, very much, I wouldn't say in the world, but below the world, this friend of hers. And so she has befriended her, hoping that she will lead her to Christ one day. And already this woman is saying, thank God. So that hope is coming to fruition. Sorry, I have to keep doing this. The Apostle Paul gives us physical examples in order to understand the spiritual meanings. And I like when he does this. I enjoy the Apostle Paul's way of teaching. One thing he says that I like is that I remain weak so that the Lord can show himself strong in me. I boast in my weaknesses. I enjoy hearing about that because we are all weak. The only reason we're strong is because of the Lord Jesus Christ living within us. But another thing that the Apostle Paul, he has a way about him to teach is that he uses the physical in order to teach the spiritual. If you have your Bibles open, please turn to Proverbs. Proverbs 13, 12. Proverbs 13, 12. Now, remember, the Apostle Paul talks about the physical in order to explain the spiritual. And we have Solomon here writing, "Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a longing fulfilled is a tree of life." Now, this is A and B, 12A and B. 12A, hope deferred or hope postponed makes the heart sick. This is a spiritual condition. Hope deferred or hope postponed or losing your hope is a spiritual condition. And if you allow this spiritual, if we allow this spiritual condition to come into our lives, then it will make our physical hearts sick. There are different things that make our physical hearts sick. Lack of potassium, I know all about that. I'm lacking in potassium. I have to take supplements. I'm anemic to guard my physical heart. But hope deferred makes the physical heart sick. We're not talking about being heart sick. Oh, I'm so down. Oh, I'm so upset. We're not talking about that kind of heart sick. Disappointments. We're talking about a physical ailment. And if we don't have hope, we're going to be physically ill with heart problems. So and what happens when we have heart problems? We die. And so the word of the Lord is a word of life. If we want to have healthy hearts to the end, then we must have hope. And in this world right now, it's very, very difficult, the most difficult time in my time or your time to have hope because of what's going on in the world right now. People are afraid to go here, to go there, can't even go shopping, can't even go to the mall and buy shoes because we're afraid that some terrorist is going to take our shoes, you know? And so we have to have a hope in order to even get around and live our lives. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. Now, B. But a longing fulfilled is a tree of life. When you get what you hope for, when you hope in the Lord, it's a longing fulfilled. Oh, I hoped for this and I got it. It might take years, may take years, but it eventually came to pass and it happened for me. And it's a longing fulfilled. And that longing fulfilled, Solomon describes as a tree of life. A tree of life. This is the same tree of life that is found, guess where? Genesis 2, the tree of life in the Garden of Eden that God told Adam and Eve that they may eat from that tree, the tree of life. Remember, there were two trees in that garden, the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They were eating from the tree of life. And so they were very hopeful. They had all their desires and longings met. They wanted for nothing. They were in paradise. They had it made. But they listened to the serpent. when the serpent told them to eat from that tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now their eyes are open to a very dark situation, a very dark world. And they ate of that fruit, and what happened? The Lord had to evict them from that perfect place. And so no more are they eating from the tree of life. They are now eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And church, when we are in the Lord and our hope is found in the Lord, I want you to see something. Alex, take these a second. Give them back to me. I just want you to see this. All the way through, look at us. Look how we go through this entire book and get to Revelation 22, which declares that on that day we will be eating from the tree of life. We are going back to the future. What God intended for us from the very beginning, when they ate from the tree of life, we're going to be eating from that tree of life all the way through this book. Before we came to Christ, we were eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But now that we're saved and born again, we are eating from the tree of life and continuing on to do so until the Lord appears to us. Praise the Lord. So hope foreseen in 2016. If we don't understand what the Lord is saying to us in different situations, sometimes we think too hard, especially me. I think so hard. My husband used to say, give yourself a break. Stop thinking so hard. Just enjoy it. Just enjoy the time. Just enjoy this or enjoy that. Stop thinking so hard. Stinking, right? And so I tried to do that. And when I put that word hope on a shelf, I remember, for instance, like I said, I didn't understand what God was telling me to have hope because what my hopes were didn't come out to my liking. We don't always like the Lord's will in our lives, but we know that if we do the Lord's will in our lives, we will be better off, and on the long run, we will be happier and happy people. So when the Lord first gave me a word, he gave me a word, and I marked it down in my Bible, October 22nd, 1981. He told me that my husband and I were going to go to AC, plant a church. And my heart just fell because I didn't want to go to Atlantic City. I liked where I was, and I didn't want to move down here to the shore. But anyway, and my husband wasn't even an elder in the church that we were attending. And Pastor Charles, and he said this many times to you, so I'm not betraying a confidence, he's told you many times that when he first started preaching, he couldn't even stand up in front of people without crying. And so when I told him, I got a word from the Lord today, and it was that we were going to plant a church in the Atlantic City area, He looked at me like I had two heads. He said, I don't know. He said, that's a pretty profound word. He said, I just don't see it. I said, I don't see it either. What do you want me to do with this word? I'm absolutely, positively sure I heard this word. He said, put it on the shelf. That's when I first heard about that. Put it on the shelf, he told me. And if it's of the Lord, if it's prophetic, like the word foreseen is prophetic, if it's prophetic, then it will come to pass. So I did. I put it on the shelf, and the rest is history. It came to pass. And I was as shocked as he was. And then I said to the Lord, I asked the Lord, I said, why, Lord? Why, if Pastor Charles is the pastor, he's the lead pastor, and he's the head of the body of your church, that you're a head of that church, then why did you give me that word? Why didn't you give Pastor Charles that word? Why didn't you tell him first that we were coming down? Why didn't you tell me first? And the Lord said, so that when the bad times came, you would know that you were called to that. Knowing me, when the bad times came, if the Lord told my husband first, I would say, are you sure you heard from the Lord? But because he told me, and I knew I heard from the Lord, when the bad times came, then I didn't shrink back. Many times I wanted to run home, wherever home was, or leave, but I didn't dare because I knew I was called to do that because the Lord gave me that word. I put it on the shelf. And what the Lord wants us to know in this beginning of this new year is that he's giving you a word. He's giving you maybe a couple of words or a few words, and you may not understand them. I may not understand them, but put it on the shelf and wait, because we are longing for his appearing in our lives. We are patiently waiting. We are longing for his appearing. And when we practice this on a daily basis, we will be fruitful. We will be victorious. We will be powerful. We will be anointed. And we will lead many people to Christ, because right now is a crucial time in our history. I mentioned my daughter's friend, and I wish I could tell you, but for the sake of the tape, I cannot tell you what she's into. Did you get it? Yes? Did you get it? That's what she is. And so for her to say thank God is a big deal, a big accomplishment. So don't feel like you have to be afraid to mention Christ to somebody, whether they're this, that, or the other thing. Because, yes. So, what we're going to do with this word, we're going to receive it prophetically. Hope foreseen in 2016 will be our declaration right here in this church and in our lives. And if we don't give up, if we don't lose hope, we will reap a harvest. The word of God tells us that the lack of knowledge, the people perish. And we don't want to come this far just to go back. Whatever it is we've been through, many of us been through a lot, we still have to keep the faith. We still have to be good testimonies for others. And so we will do that in the name of Jesus. Amen. I want us to see this. Isaiah 30. Isaiah 30. We long for the Lord's appearance, and we long for the Lord to do certain things in our lives. We have hope. But the Lord has a longing as well. And I want you to see what it is in Isaiah 30, verse 18. Yet the Lord longs. How old is God? How old is the Ancient of Days? He longs to be gracious to you. He rises to show you compassion, for the Lord is a God of justice, and blessed are all who wait for him. Not only wait for him on that last day, but wait for him in our everyday, daily lives. You know, when we long for his appearing in our everyday lives, like I said, we long for the sun to come up. We long for the seasons. I long for springtime. Okay? When the buds are just about coming up and life is just starting to form. I long for God's appearing in that, because he holds all the seasons. He put the stars and the sun in their places and told them to stay there until it's time to take it down. And I long for the summertime when the grass is very green and all the crops are everything is at full bloom and the trees are at full bloom and the fruit I long for the summertime. I long for the autumn time when it's time for harvest and it's time to reap. Even I noticed, I've noticed all the time, but for instance, when I got this word, it was in the autumn about longing for his appearing, for instance, in the autumn time of our lives. And I noticed the trees, beautiful color, all different colors, and yet they're dying. The leaves on the trees are dying, and yet they are beautiful in color. And then I noticed that the trees start falling on the ground, and the ground was beautiful with color, and it was a symbol of death, and yet there's so much beauty in that. And now we're in the winter season, and it's a time of rest. Who likes the snow anymore? I don't. I used to love the snow. I don't like it anymore, especially this morning when I saw what looked like snow on my car. I know it was frost, but it looked like snow to me. And I go, uh-oh. And the Lord said, long for my appearing in that. I said, let me think hard about this, Lord. Okay, it's beautiful. Okay. Time of refreshing, time of laying back, time of taking a little rest in winter time. And so I long for his appearing even in the winter season of life in general and in our lives as well, in the spring, summer, fall, and winter in our lives, wherever we are in our age, for instance. So now, and also we can long for the Lord's appearing in the lives of each other. This is more difficult because we are in the flesh. If we were in the spirit, we wouldn't be here. But because we have flesh, it's difficult sometimes to walk in the spirit. For instance, it's easy for the flesh to see faults and failures in people's lives. It's easy. It's not as easy for us who are in the Lord. But it shouldn't be easy at all for us who are in the Lord. What we should be doing is longing for the Lord's appearing in the lives of our brothers and sisters so that we see Christ in them. And we pull out all the good that is within them that the Lord deposited in them. And so we long for the Lord's appearing in each other. Now, getting back to Isaiah 30:18, yet the Lord longs to be gracious to you. He rises to show you compassion. For the Lord is a God of justice, and blessed are all who wait for him. Now he goes on to say this. O people of Zion, who do you think that is? Okay, they were the people back then, but how about here and now? Are we people of Zion who live in Jerusalem? We will weep no more. How gracious he will be when you cry for help. As soon as he hears, he will answer you. Although the Lord gives you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, your teachers will be hidden no more. With your own eyes, you will see them. And whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. Then you will defile your idols overlaid with silver and your images covered with gold or wood or whatever your TV set is made of, or laptops, computers, whatever, iPads. You will throw them away like a menstrual cloth and say to them, away with you. He will also send you rain for the seed you sow in the ground, and the food that comes from the land will be rich and plentiful. In that day, your cattle will graze in broad meadows. The oxen and donkeys that work the soil will eat fodder and mash, spread out with a fork and shovel. In the day of great slaughter, look at this verse. In the day of great slaughter, when the towers fall, streams of water will flow on every high mountain and every lofty hill. The moon will shine like the sun, and the sunlight will be seven times brighter, like the light of seven full days. And when the Lord binds up the bruises of his people and heals the wounds he inflicted. Church, I really believe that this is the year the Lord is going to do all that if we have hope foreseen in 2016. Now, I leave you with a closing scripture, one of my favorites. Jeremiah 29. Jeremiah 29, you know where I'm going. Yep. 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Hope foreseen, a longing fulfilled, longing for his appearing. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me. When you seek me with all your heart, I will be found by you. As I said before, this is a difficult year. God knows what's going to come around the bend. We don't know. We're going to have a new president, that's for sure. But yeah, everybody's, yeah, let's applaud the Lord for that. Right. But we want to hope for the Lord's will in that choosing and not our own. Because I have my favorite. And I'm not allowed to talk about it. But hope foreseen in 2016. And don't allow the enemy to steal your joy. Here's what I want to do. Before the worship team comes up to play, I would like the worship team to come up now and just stand in front of this altar because we want to pray for you. Not only the worship team that was involved in playing and singing today, but anyone who's ever been part of the worship team next week, whenever, I want you to come up and stand at the altar because I want to pray for you. I had a little difficulty this morning because I felt a heaviness. I felt that heavy touch. But those of us in any kind of ministry have these things come against us from time to time, and we have to overcome them anyway. But I want you to know that those who get hit hard, not only are the pastors and the ministers, but those on the worship team, they get hit hard by the enemy. The enemy comes at you all the time because the enemy hates for the Lord to be worshiped. The enemy wants to be worshiped. That's why he fell. And so he tries to get this team to fall. And you don't ever know who to pray for or what to pray for. Pray for your worship team, because when you come to this place and experience an anointing in worship, it's because your worship team has spent time with the Lord. They just don't go down the list and say, oh, this song, oh, that song. And that. No, they pray about it. I asked Brother Dave to play a couple of songs that had to do with hope, and he did. But he also chose some songs on his own. One of the songs was A Longing Fulfilled. He didn't hear me say that. But because he prayed, the Holy Spirit had him play that. He had the worship team sing it and play it. Because the Holy Spirit is moving, and when we pray, we all come in contact with the Holy Spirit, and we are unified. What I'd like to do is, I guess I'll get David first. David, Pastor David, would you anoint David first with oil so he can go up and play his little heart out? And in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, Lord. We thank you for David. We thank you for Terry We thank you, Lord, that he's a man of God. She is a woman of God. And we thank you in the name of Jesus, Lord, that he'll always declare you in the talent that you have given him. And then in the name of Jesus, we pray, go in the name of the Lord. Would you anoint each and every one of them? Just go down the line and each and every one of them to be anointed with oil. As I pray in the name of Jesus, Lord, break every bondage, break every yoke. Lord, keep everything that is against the cross away from them, Lord. Yes, we're asking you to make their lives easier. Yes, we are. Yes, we are, Lord. I know some churches don't want to do that, but what's the harm in that? What's the harm in asking you to make our lives just a little easier, just to make it a little more enjoyable, Lord, as we serve you in singing and dancing, in playing the instruments that you've given us talents for? And so we bless them in the name of Jesus and release them. You can go up, you can play, you can sing, or you can come back down. I also want to pray for the church. Hallelujah. Okay. I'm going to ask each and every one of you to stand. Anoint yourself. No, I'm only teasing. Amen. Amen. I'm anointing Pastor Dave because he asked me to do so. And in the name of Jesus, Lord, as worship minister, as worship pastor, Lord, we pray over him a special anointing. Put your arms out. Reach over to Pastor David. Because he comes, a lot of things come against him as well. And so we pray for Pastor David and for Minister Jennifer and their entire family and household, that you would protect them, that they would always be in the Holy Spirit, that they would always do what they do in the anointing of God and not of themselves. Give them power and protection, Lord, in this new year of 2016. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. And for the church, Pastor David, why don't you pray a special blessing for all of us?
Grace, protection, provision, Lord, for our sister. Lord, we thank you for the anointing that is upon her and the gifts that are within her, and how you build the kingdom through her. Continue to provide and meet every need and go beyond. Release the blessing that she already, Lord God, has procured through her obedience and through walking in accordance with your word. Release it from the heavenlies, and we rejoice with her in it in Jesus' name. And now may the Lord bless you, and may the Lord keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. And may our Lord be gracious to you. May Adonai lift up his countenance towards you. And may our Lord give you peace. Shalom. In Jesus' name, amen. If anyone else would like prayer, anointing of oil, we're available. Other than that, have a blessed day and join us on the other side for coffee and juice and fellowship. In Jesus' name, amen.
You are the hope living in us. You are the rock in whom we trust. You are the light shining for all.